شروع شوا
السلام عليكم. Hello.
Glenn, we're having trouble hearing you.
Are you having trouble hearing me?
Yeah.
Sorry. Is this better?
Much better.
Okay. Tony Holmes. Greg Ruth.
Here.
Robin Grass.
Present.
Norbert Klein. Norbert, I see, is joined, but he's on mute. Adrian Kinderis.
Assalamu alaikum.
Tom Keller.
Yes.
Jordy.
Yes.
Chuck Gomes. Well, Chuck's there, but... Edmund Chan. John Bing.
Yung Bing present.
Avery.
Here.
And Olga is absent. She sends her apologies. Then we have Rita.
Hi, everyone.
Dan Halloran. Kurt Fritz. Denise.
Hi.
Michelle.
Hello.
Olaf Nordling.
Yeah, hello.
Liz Jaster. Patrick Jones. Craig Schwartz. Karen Lentz. Penelope Wren and Rob Hogarth. Have I missed anybody?
Glenn, it's Christina. I don't know if I was on mute or I couldn't hear you. But
sorry, you probably couldn't hear me. Thank you, Christina.
And this is Carlos. I have just entered.
Thank you, Carlos.
Mr. Chekhov is now joining the call, the conference.
Okay. Time number four. I keep using my Bluetooth.
Welcome
maybe
back.
Maybe that'll help.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. So we have quorum and we have all the constituencies present. We have a very full agenda. So at this point, is there anyone that needs to update their statement of interest? Okay, if at any point anyone needs to, please send it to the list. Glenn will record it and then we can mention it on the next phone call. In terms of the agenda, I had one request from Chuck, who asked me to move item 12 that he's involved in, which is talking about the IRT PDP evaluations, the extra ones, since he might have to go off for jury duty. Actually, he's on jury duty. He might actually have to go off into a courtroom. So I'm moving that to item 4, which is right after we do the confirmation of the election results. Does anyone else have any comments or corrections or additions to this agenda before we start rolling through it? Okay, good. Then we'll go with the agenda as it is. The next thing is to approve the minutes of 31 January 2008. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
There was a motion made on the council list with a second,
okay.
Avery, by Chuck.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Thank you. Okay, so I have a second by Chuck, a motion
and,
by Chuck.
And seconded by Adrian.
Okay, thank you. So are there any discussions on those minutes? Okay, if they're not, could you please indicate with aye if you accept those minutes?
Aye.
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 Please indicate with nay if you do not accept those minutes. Do we have any abstentions? Nope. Okay, fine. The minutes have passed unanimously. The next thing is to confirm the election results for ICANN board seat 14. Glenn, can you take this one, please?
Yes. Rita wrote the only candidate and received 19 positive votes, 14 or more being the required number to win. There were 19 votes for Rita, 1 vote against, and 1 abstention. 4 ballots were not read by the close of voting, counting for 6 votes. You have seen the email on the council list with the number of each council member plus the way they voted, and have you checked that, and have you any questions about it, please?
Okay.
Have somebody
right.
make a motion then?
Right, yes. I will move that we accept the election results of Rita Rodin in seat number 14 for the next term. Does anybody second that? Somebody please
second that. Tom Kellum.
Okay, Tom. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Okay, the results are accepted. Congratulations, Rita, and thank you for sitting in the seat for another couple years.
Thank you, everyone, very much.
Okay, moving on. As I say, I'm trying to rush through. Item 12, which was the inter-registrar transfer policy. Now, the first part is just a quick status update on status of constituency reports for the IRT-denial reasons PDP, which is currently in effect and currently in public comment. Olaf, where do we stand with constituency reports?
The initial report has been posted as is, meaning without constituency report from the ISP, and with the existing one from the NCUC, and I still haven't received any constituency statement from the ISP, and nor any additional information from the NCUC, so if that could be forthcoming so we could include it in what is to become the final report, that would be much appreciated.
Avery, it's Tony.
Okay, Tony, yes.
So I was under the impression that Mark McFadden had forwarded a statement from the ISPs over a week ago, so I'm unclear why that hasn't been received. I'll certainly follow up, but it was prepared, and I believe it's been sent.
Okay, thank you. So good. So just a question of trying to get down.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Tim.
Yes, hi, Tim.
Okay, I just want to make sure you can hear me now, because I've been on the call, but she put me in on listen-only mode the first time, so...
Oh, okay, so you're actually here. Welcome.
I am here.
Thank you. Okay, so that's good news on the ISPC. I guess we just need to track it down to make sure that it gets in there. Any comment from NCUC on whether there will be an update and when? Robin, Norbert, anyone? I guess not. Okay, so I guess unless
Hi, Avery, this is Carlos.
Oh, hi, Carlos. Sorry.
Hi. I'm just with Norbert here on Skype. Seems that he's having some trouble to hear what's going on the call. It seems that he's online, but he's having some trouble to participate.
Okay, thanks.
And it seems that Robin will not be able to join us.
Oh, I thought she'd already said she was here. Okay.
Oh, she's
thanks.
Here? Okay.
I thought
so that's,
I'd heard her say present at some point.
Oh, so that's fine. So.
Okay. Does anyone know whether NCUC is planning an update to its IRT denial reasons PDP report?
No.
Okay. I'll leave the question pending.
Yeah. So
okay.
I'm really not sure.
Okay, please, and if one is forthcoming, please get it in. If one's not, let Olaf at least know so that we don't keep waiting for it. Okay, the next item, if Chuck is still here, was...
I am.
Okay, I've termed IRT grouping of other issues, overview of report. Go, Chuck.
Okay, I'll be fairly brief. I sent this, recommendation from a small group that prepared them to the council list 8 days ago, and so I'm not going to go in too much detail. Let me start off by thanking Tom Keller, Tim Ruiz, Mike O'Connor, Olaf Nordling, Rob Hogarth, and Glenn all for the great work that they did on this group. We recommended that the 19 transfer policy issues be divided into 5 TDPs for all but 5 of the issues, or 4.5, I guess I should say. 4.5 issues, we recommended that they not be included in the PDP at this time. And the reason I say a half, there's one issue where we separated it into two and recommended part of it for PDP and part of it not. In the report that I sent you, the five groups are recommended. Are you hearing that echo like I am? Are you hearing
just
that
started.
Echo like I am?
Started.
I'm sorry about that. One issue was singled out for a single PDP, and the others are groups by categories. The categories are new transfer policy issues, undoing transfers, operational rule enhancements, dispute policy enhancements, and then the individual PDP for penalties. And the last thing that we talk about in the report is the order of the PDPs, and we suggest that, first of all, the council consider investigating how many volunteers would be available to work on these different PDPs, because we couldn't even consider doing them in parallel, any of them in parallel, if there aren't enough volunteers to work on them. And the registrar volunteers are going to be particularly critical because of the nature of the issues, and their expertise is seriously needed. We did order the 5 PDPs in priorities, and we talk about that at the end of the document if you want to see how we did that. And so if they're done serially or partially serially, we have suggested some priorities in that regard. And then hopefully maybe in the next meeting we can talk in more detail. Any questions about the process or anything else at this time?
I have one question, and that's sort of a process question, which is, for any of these PDPs, have we already gone through with this report what could be considered the issues report? Or do we need to request an issues report? And I guess it's almost, I'm asking that perhaps of Dan, perhaps of the staff. I mean, I don't know if you have the answer. But does the report that we had initially count as an issues report, or to follow proper PDP structure on each of these PDPs, do we now have, or each of these potential PDPs, do we now have to ask for an issues report?
When we're ready to start them, it's my understanding that we would have to ask for an issues report.
Okay. Thank you. I kind of assumed that. I just wanted to make sure.
Right, yeah. And depending on how we decide to proceed, I wouldn't suggest that we just ask for an issues report on all 5 until we decide whether we're going to do them serially or in parallel.
Right, that makes sense. Okay, are there any... anyone like to, what I'd like to suggest is ask clarifying questions. Now, I've got this on the tentative agenda for our next meeting. I would recommend that everyone read about it, you know, read it, talk within the constituencies, you know, to sort of determine the answers to some of the questions that are posed in the document and that Chuck raised about, you know, do we have the volunteers? Do we do these? Do we do these serially? Do we do any in parallel? And come back next week, sort of, not next week, but next meeting, sort of ready to make decisions on how we want to proceed with these. And hopefully, in fact, we can get maybe some motions in play before then, so we start to have a concrete idea of how we'd like to proceed. Anyone have any questions, clarification questions now? Okay. If not, thank you, Chuck. I hope you could stay on the align with us for the rest of the call, but if you disappear, I totally understand. And although I hope you don't disappear, because it means you disappear for a week. Okay, item 5, going back to the regular order of the schedule. Denise, can you give us an update on board activities? And one of the things that I had included as a sub-item was sort of talking about the feedback from the board on the new GTLD process, and then a conversation about the face-to-face meeting. I guess we already sort of know what the details are, but maybe there's more questions to be asked. And then I'd also posed the question to the council, is does this work for the council? So please.
The information I'll be quickly summarizing regarding recent board actions is all available on the website. The board's executive committee met last week, set the agenda for today's board meeting, which will take place at noon Pacific time. In addition to setting the agenda for today's board meeting, the executive committee also extended the comment period for the DNSO improvement report for 30 days. That's extended to April 25. This was in response to the request posted by Philip Shepherd on behalf of the commercial intellectual property and ISP constituencies. The agenda for today's board meeting, which also is posted, includes a discussion of the midterm review of the joint the JPA, Joint Project Agreement with the Department of Commerce, discussion of the New Star and affiliates, add grace period modification proposal, which was submitted through the final process, an update discussion on new GTLDs. This is a staff implementation work, due diligence. The discussion of GNSO improvement. The board will be discussing the letter and proposed plan of the GNSO, as well as any input that's been received so far. They'll be discussing getting an update on all the bylaw mandated independent reviews. They'll have a brief discussion on budget issues, as well as an update on the Paris ICANN meeting. Paul Toomey will give a president's report. They'll then briefly discuss the Riga board workshop agenda that's been proposed. And then there'll be a briefing on budget and management issues, as well as an agenda item for other business. That's it for today's board meeting. To note, the board will have a retreat on April 17th and 18th. On the agenda for the board retreat is an extensive discussion, briefing and discussion on the new GTLD final report.
Okay. Thanks. And that's what leads into our discussion on, I guess, their feedback to date, correct?
Sure. Feedback to date on new GTLDs or GNSO improvements?
The new GTLD, yeah, we'll talk later about the GNSO improvements, but the new GTLD process, because I guess that one's an imminent action item for us.
Sure. So as you'll recall, and as I also noted in an email to the list, the board in Delhi passed a resolution that directed staff to continue with its work on implementation options for the new GTLD report, also to inform the GNSO and public on the progress that's being made with these implementation efforts, and to discuss issues with the GNSO Council, and noted that information would be provided to the board in time for its consideration at the board workshop on April 17th. So following up on that, you'll recall at last month's council meeting, Kurt Fritz gave a brief overview of the implementation work that the staff had done in the last few months, and in line with this resolution, suggested that staff could set up a series of conference call briefings and discussions on this. It was suggested that a face-to-face would be more effective and preferred by the council members, and so that's the follow-up email identifying the best dates for most of the members has been sent out. So it looks so. I think it's, as Glenn has indicated on the list, the 10th and 11th. Is that right, Glenn?
That's right, Denise. The 10th and the 11th
are the best dates available for a majority of members.
Okay. Yeah, and we've seen the first details of the arrangements for that meeting. I don't know if we need to do, are there any questions, I guess, on any of this so far or on those details? And I'll check to see if there are.
Yeah, Chuck would like it in.
Okay, Chuck, anyone else?
I have a question. I'll read it to Rita.
Rita, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Has a decision been made yet whether it's just going to be cocktails on a Thursday night and the full meeting on Friday, or the earlier scenario that John Nevitt has suggested?
You know, we're happy, from a staff perspective, we're happy to accommodate what works best for most council members. I think Glenn has gone back and asked if we could start around. Glenn, are you?
Yes.
Have you suggested and asked for input on feedback on an earlier start time on Thursday so we could go Thursday afternoon to Friday afternoon?
I have, Denise, and the responses up to now, although everybody's response is not in, indicate that people prefer the cocktail to and the whole day working on Friday.
Frank, how many responses have you gotten on that?
And I have had one, two, three, four responses on that. And one response for the midday Thursday to midday Friday has just come in now.
So obviously, given the time constraints we're under, it would be ideal if we could get everyone else's responses on the call or right after and close on this today.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay, I just had one. Okay, that was Chuck's answer. Okay, Rita.
Thanks, Aubrey. So just a quick question, I guess, to Denise and you all. Is the plan then for this April meeting to deal with the implementations and give a formal report to the board so that we can review it in Rita?
So, Rita, our understanding of the board resolution is that we do report back to the board of our discussion with the DNSO.
Okay, because I know that there were some specific issues. It would be great if you had some sort of a very pithy written report that came out of what you were talking about with some of those recommendations and some of the questions answered so that people could review that maybe on their way to Riga. Or, you know, I think I know it's a tall order and it's a short period of time, but the extent to which we could have a short written report for board members to take a look at, I think that would be really helpful.
Right. Yeah, so the whole intention of doing it on the 10th and 11th is to do just that, to capture the discussion and provide it to the board. Did Kurt, was that you?
Yeah, I that clarified my question.
Okay. I had one quick question about the arrangement notice that had gone out for people. It was stated quite strictly, and it stated quite strictly that only one night's hotel would be provided for people. Now, I mean, I don't, and this is not even knowing my person, I probably only need one, but I'm wondering for some of the people coming from further away because of flight schedules or whatever, they may end up needing two nights. Will that be an issue?
No, that's not an issue, and in fact, that was an error on my part. Glenn and I miscommunicated, and I intended to say as hotel accommodations as needed, and I realized that that we may need to do more than one night, depending on people's flights. So Stacy on I-10 staff will be happy to work with you to find the right and appropriate combination of, you know, flight schedules and hotel accommodation.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It's
Adrian.
Okay, Adrian, go ahead, Denise. I cut you off.
No, I just wanted to also reinforce that, of course, additional members are welcome and encouraged to come. We just have those parameters in terms of ICANN support. That does not, of course, mean that other members can't come and pay for themselves.
Right, and also, though, within the block of hotels, there's sufficient room for them within the block?
Well, as you can imagine, we need to make these arrangements quickly. So Glenn is asking for RSVPs for people, even if they're paying for themselves, we'd be happy to make hold hotel rooms for them, but she needs that right away.
Okay, thanks. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Okay, Adrian.
I was just going to pass on my gratitude that ICANN is extending this, and the registrar is certainly supportive. We had a chat online with the XCOM, and I know we've had some issues in the past, but this seems to be something well worth spending our money on in trying to progress, and I appreciate the fact that I won't be spending a night at the airport but on the floor somewhere, so that's great. Thank you.
Happy to help.
This is Kurt. I have one comment, if I might, Aubrey.
Certainly. Please, Kurt.
In deciding whether we meet at all on Thursday or not, I'd like to urge the council to consider at least, you know, if it's cocktails, maybe a stand-up meeting where we go through the agenda and a brief overview of what we're going to talk about the next day. So my experience with the meetings is, you know, we want to really, if we only spend all day Friday, we really want to hit the ground running. So if we just do cocktails, then we could do a stand-up around overhead for an hour or something like that if we can't arrange to start earlier.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Does anyone else want to comment on these?
Avi, this is Christina. I just wanted to follow up on what Kurt was saying, is that to the extent that materials would be available, 24 hours, Wednesday evening or such, for those of us who are traveling so that, you know, we can make good use of the time on the plane, that would be extraordinarily helpful.
Yeah, so, Avi, if I might respond.
Please.
We have the gist of an agenda, so we'll be able to send out an outline of the agenda, you know, in bulleted form in a few days, I think, and then slides maybe to follow before the meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak? Okay, so I'm assuming that Adrian spoke for the rest of us in thanking the ICANN staff for making this possible, and we're ready to go with it, correct? No one thinks that's a bad statement. Fantastic. Okay, if there's nothing else on this, thank you, Denise, and I'll move on to the next item, which is the IDNC update. I have you listed for that, Edmund. Do you hear Edmund? Are you mute?
Edmund doesn't seem to be on the call, Abby.
Okay. So with Edmund not being here, basically then I'll give a very quick recap of it. I sat in on both of the calls. Basically, we went through all of the issues. A lot of the discussions had to do with, in the last meeting especially, had to do with to what degree IANA or others had to confirm or check the technical capabilities of the new registry, and a lot of discussion on that. And I think basic agreement that, yes, IANA was going to have to check, and I think it came down to, on the end, that how IANA verified someone's technical capability was kind of up to IANA, but that, yes, they would have to verify it in some way or other. And if the registry had a lot of experience in IDNs, well, then that might be enough. But if they were a new registry, then maybe they would need to run some tests. But the group never came down to anything definitive, more or less agreeing. The rest of it basically was just discussions, did a walkthrough of the document. I don't believe a lot of changes, certainly some discussions in terms of how delegations were done. There were discussions about languages and how many languages, and I think it basically tended towards certainly official languages only in the fast track, and the questions about other languages and other scripts pertained more to the PDP and the long term. The same thing with the notion of whether there could be names in ASCII or extended ASCII, and I believe that the trend they're taking there is that, again, that's not a fast-track thing, that's a PDP issue, and that the fast-track will be reserved primarily, or in fact solely, for names in non-ASCII script, in other words, non-Latin script. That remains to be seen. So anyhow, Bart and Chris are now currently working on a revision of the document based on the conversations, and that should be coming out relatively soon. And that's pretty much what I have to say. I've just been sort of observing it, and Edmund's been the one that's basically been participating and bringing up the issues, and I think all the way through, whenever one of the GNSO issues that we had written about came up, he brought it up, and it was discussed and listened to. The last call was recorded. They were previously just doing minutes, but they decided that they would record the calls, and I believe that those will be available, though I don't know for sure. Any questions? I might have the answer. Okay. I'll keep this item on the agenda, and at the next meeting, Edmund will be able to continue to fill in. Moving on. The next one is the GNSO-CCNSO relations, and what I really meant under that one is we had talked at our last meeting about meeting together again in Paris, definitely got an invitation sort of saying, let's meet again. They're suggesting Thursday afternoon. Now, there's basically two questions coming on with Thursday afternoon, and perhaps Denise or someone from the staff will speak to part of this. And I'll speak to the other part. The part I'll speak to is we need to decide on whether this is a council-to-council meeting as it was last time or an SO-to-SO meeting. It seems that within the CCNSO, most of their meetings are SO meetings where the council is there and functioning, and then that they're not specifically council meetings. So I guess they're showing a preference for being an SO-to-SO meeting. Now, in terms of the GNSO, that may have size issues. I don't know, but I wanted to basically bring the issue up to the council. Do we care? Do we want to counsel the council, or are we just as happy with an SO-to-SO meeting? So that's one of the questions. The other issue, which I'll ask, as I say, either Denise or someone else on the staff to mention briefly, is that there may be, I think it's still in the maybe state, maybe it's stronger, a change to the overall schedule where the meeting will actually end on Thursday afternoon with a board meeting in the, I believe, 4-6 time slot, and Friday being no longer meeting, which may or may not change people's views of Thursday afternoon as a time to meet. The other complexity is, of course, that means that we don't really have time for our Thursday, let's review what happened and talk about how we proceed, but we could move that to a teleconference. So that doesn't strike me as necessarily a critical issue. So that's sort of the overall issue, and maybe, Denise, you can say something more about the schedule for Paris?
As it stands right now, the meeting
is.
Now, that was a statement, actually, not a question. As it stands right now, the Paris meeting will end Thursday at 6 o'clock. The board meeting will be held on Thursday instead of Friday from 4 to 6. Paul Levins will be posting an agenda, hopefully sooner rather than later, that will make that official. The draft plan right now is a Thursday end.
So from the tentative schedule that we've seen, if certain things are shifted around, there could be time for this meeting between the CCNSO and the GNSO. Thursday afternoon, though it would mean that we would miss a workshop on IPv6 addressing issues, or maybe it was IPv4 addressing issues, but on addressing issues. And while I found that topic interesting, I thought that meeting between the CCNSO and GNSO probably had a higher priority to naming support organizations, but of course, that's an issue for the council again. So does anyone want to comment or give any guidance on how we should go?
Chuck, I'd like to comment.
Chuck, anyone else? Okay, Chuck, go ahead.
I sent a suggestion via email that we could make it a lunch meeting. I guess it was just to Chris and you and a few others on staff. But we could make it a lunch meeting, and then that would give us 2.5 hours by doing that. And you could even flip-flop a couple of the afternoon agenda items, and there would be less of a conflict. But I think if it's any less than a couple-hour meeting, it's probably going to be tough to get anything done.
By a lunch meeting, did you mean lunch served or we bring lunch? And if
no.
So, does that affect the council-to-council, SO-to-SO question?
Yeah, it's a good point. I was thinking serve lunch, but your points weren't very well taken. I think that's the only way to do it and make it worth enough time to make it work, I think, is going to be over lunch. And I can go either way, whether we bring our own. I think what happens then is you have problems with people needing time to get it and everything else, so there's some time lost.
Okay, thanks. Tim, was it that was next in the queue?
Right. Just kind of a related question is, is there another plan or another day scheduled for the kind of a debriefing meeting that the GNSO normally does on Thursday?
I haven't planned that yet. There wouldn't be the possibility of doing it on Thursday afternoon any longer. Thursday morning is the open forum, so we couldn't do it then. I don't know whether there's a time Wednesday, or we could just talk about doing the debriefing as instead of waiting 3 weeks or 4 weeks for our next meeting, we could try and have our debriefing meeting as a teleconference the week after and then go on from there. So, no, I hadn't worked out a suggestion yet.
Okay. Well, I like your last suggestion.
So, yeah. Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to comment on this, especially on the issue of council to council or SO to SO? And does anybody think that not having this meeting, that we shouldn't have this meeting? I mean, I think I gathered from us in the past that we thought the last one was good and that we should do more, but I just want to take the temperature. Okay, so people in general think it's a good idea to continue having these CCNSO, GNSO meetings, especially while we're in the new TLD, IDN, TLD phase of development. I'll assume silence means yes. Any opinion on SO or council to council? Nope. Okay. Thank you. So any comments on this one before I move on? Perhaps we could talk about it on the list some. I guess my tendency will be if we don't care and they prefer SO to SO, that we should probably try to do SO to SO and make it an open meeting and see how that works. We did the council to council one, so let's see how an SO to SO one works. And
Auburn?
Yes.
Yeah, you just might want to run by Chris the issue you raised on the lunch issue.
Certainly.
But that's all I would suggest. Yeah,
so I will presume that we're trying for an SO to SO and see if we can handle that somehow. And if we can't, I'll get back to everybody. Okay. Moving on to the next one, the GNSO improvements. Even though the board hasn't come to final approval on them yet, and, you know, there's still comment period, and we're really still only working on the things that in general seem to have support, the staff was basically placed, and Denise, please correct me when and if I say something that doesn't quite, you know, especially if I say the staff was, told to get started. And so the staff has been working with Chuck and I in terms of getting started. And in conversations with Denise and others on the policy staff and the secretariat, we basically have formed a planning committee, and I don't know, is it planning committee or planning group? We're still very much wandering around on what things are called. But anyhow, a planning group that is basically acting as a bootstrap to get this process going. And then once it's going, we'll basically be responsible for sort of following it, you know, reporting on status, and sort of generally helping when help is needed. But really at the focus of this group is certainly the bootstrapping. Now, we have several people from the policy staff and secretariat working on it, and they've been putting out a fair amount of output that is, you know, a lot of good stuff for thinking about. And we've had some original, you know, some first thoughts about basically following recommendations in the working group's recommendation, that we set up standing committees. And we've talked about two standing committees that we're going to try and develop charters for, that we would then bring to the council and get the council's approval on these charters. One of them would be for a committee to work on process issues such as working groups, how we do working groups, how we charter them, how they're run, and also a team to look at how we would revise the PDP, working within a working group environment. And the other standing committee was to start looking at operational things, whether those things were operational things that would have to do with the council, things that would have to do with constituencies, with communications, with other special topics. And, you know, it would create charters for those teams, et cetera. So we have the beginning of this team, which was five people from the ICANN staff, Chuck and I, and we definitely want to, you know, enlarge that team somewhat. We've invited the board governance committee to contribute a participating liaison to this group, partly so that we don't have to constantly run back and forth to the board saying, what did you mean here? We have someone there that can actually, you know, do a little bit of interpretation, because they were on the working group, are on the governance committee, which is essentially the oversight for this transition, and, you know, can also bring questions easily back to the board. And we wanted to add more people from the GNSO. Now, this is where the question comes up. Questions about anything I've said, you know, we can open once I open it. We had talked about adding two to three others because we wanted to keep this team relatively small, and sort of half staff and half the rest of us seemed like, you know, a fairly large, small group. Totally understanding that if we cannot get to that smaller group, and in listening to the conversations on the list, we may need to open it up to one per constituency. So I wanted to have that discussion today. As I said on the list, I personally want to see it stay small if possible. I have used dozen as my sort of marker of what is small and what is big. Obviously an arbitrary number, but it works for me, so that's what I've been using. So I guess the last thing before I stop is several names have been mentioned by people, have been put forward either by themselves or by others who are interested in working with this planning team. Ken Stubbs was the first, his registry. Olga from NOMCOM. Philip from BC. Milton was sort of mentioned in an NCUC conversation. I'm not sure if that's formal yet. Uta Decker, IPC. Wolf Ulrich, ISPC. I think only the registrars haven't put forward a name yet that I know of. So I'd like to open the discussion. Perhaps Chuck might want to start out by sort of fleshing out what I've said. I certainly invite Denise or anyone from the staff to flesh out or correct any of the nuances that I may have put in. And then I'd like to open the discussion and see how we do this staffing of the planning group.
Okay, I'll be with Chuck.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
And just a warning, I could get called into the courtroom any time now. So just a warning there. First of all, I wanted to talk just briefly about the two standing committees. That is absolutely, and I'm going to move down the hallway here because I've got a talkative group down behind me here. The standing committee is definitely an area, as well as the actual working team, where we absolutely, I think, are going to want full constituency representation as well as full community. So just want to let people know that. Now, with regard to this planning committee, Ken Stubbs has agreed that because we want to keep it small, he will withdraw his name because I'm on there and can do that. I personally would certainly like to see somebody from the commercial business side of the constituency on there, as well as the non-commercial side at a minimum. But the last thing I would say in that regard is that it's really important that whoever's on there can be available for at least one teleconference call a week in the next 3 to 4 weeks and be able to do some work in between calls so that within 3 or 4 weeks we can have a plan for the council. Yeah, I'm going to put myself on mute because of all the talking going on in the hallway here.
Okay. One thing I'd like to add to what Chuck said there is that those standing committees will be the ones that are really doing the bulk of the work. And we're trying to distinguish between something that's a process bootstrap and something that will be actually doing the work. The other thing is, in terms of the planning committee, we've started to work within a wiki collaborative environment. We're all doing some of the writing. We're all going to be editing each other's writing and stuff. So that. Now, Denise, did you want to add or subtract anything from what I said?
No, I think all that's great. One issue that would be good to get council clarification on is, and we're happy to support a wiki environment for this work, but the council should be clear on what parameters they're comfortable with. Should committee members only have posting rights, then the world can read, or do you want the world to have posting rights, or, you know, there's lots of different ways of approaching this, so that just needs to be clear at the outset.
Right. My view on that is that that's something that will evolve, and it'll, you know, start out one way and probably change over time, but certainly. And that's fairly flexible. Okay, I'd like to open the floor to other people that want to talk, either ask questions about the planning committee, the state of the planning, or especially to talk about how many people to put on this grouping. Anyone else? Philip, yes. Anyone else? Okay, Philip.
Okay, I'm just to say I fully understand the difference between the suggestion of a planning committee and later standing committees. We had a brief discussion between the three commercial constituencies to see if we could have one person who may put their name forward for the planning committee. I think we were just a little uncertain as to where planning stops and substance of the standing committees goes forward. So at the moment, I think you might have seen a nomination from each of the three constituencies there. I think probably going forward, we will, you know, we'll look at that and see, and if indeed that proves to be too many people, then probably one or other may withdraw, but I think for the time being it's perhaps helpful to have a few more minds of thinking about the planning process, because that sets so much of the rest in place and is the critical starting point.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment? Okay.
This is Uta. Can I comment
certainly
on that briefly? It's rather more of a question. I think so far we don't have any kind of rule set here on how we want to compose this planning committee, whether we want to draw this from commercial interest, non-commercial interest, or how we want to group the constituencies involved in any way prior to TNS or reform, or do we want to look at one person per constituency? And I certainly don't think that was the intention now in putting names forward. This mainly went back to, you know, people showing interest in this work and being intellectually stimulated by it and wanting to participate. So is it your feeling now, looking at the list of people who have stepped forward, that we already have too many, or can we actually work with a group that has constituted itself?
Okay, thanks. At the moment we have five names on the list, with Ken having withdrawn in favor of Chuck being able to represent the interests. I think that there's still one or two more than I hoped for. I don't think it's necessarily terribly problematic. I understand what Philip was saying about where does, you know, bootstrapping planning end and substance. And, you know, as far as my view of it was that this planning committee was going to suggest the initial charters of the standing committees to the council. The council was then going to approve, edit, disapprove, what have you. And so, of course, having enough representation in the planning group so that we made sure that the various viewpoints were adequately expressed was my real concern, and I think that's where Chuck's was coming in, is that certainly we need to have someone there that really understood the non-commercial viewpoint. We needed to have somebody there that understood the commercial input and the commercial input in its various manifestations, and someone that understood the providers, the registrars, registries, viewpoints and able to represent that. Now, that expression, sufficient expression of viewpoints was what was necessary so that we would be able to propose two standing committee charters that would not be unacceptable, that would be acceptable to the council. Then once those standing committees are in, really this planning committee sits back, is ready to offer, you know, assistance, sort of help push the cart out of the mud if it gets stuck, and to sort of serve the purpose of reporting status to the board oversight committee on this, just so that there's somebody that writes status reports. But, you know, that's how I saw the division. So the way I sort of view it is we need to get enough of a diversity so that the council can look at the list of names there and think, yep, we think there's enough diversity there. The hard thing is finding the balance of too much versus not enough. Is five that balance? I think that's for the consensus of the, you know, group to sort of say yeah or nay.
Aubrey, could I add something there?
Certainly.
I want to make clear, when I said that I told Ken that I would be able to represent the registries, I really am not doing much to represent registries in this planning group. All we're trying to do, in fact, I haven't at all, I don't think, we're just trying to come up with some hopefully constructive ideas for how this work can be organized. And so I don't want to leave the impression that it's important that registries or registrars or any other constituency, their viewpoints are represented. We want some people there that can help test the ideas for a good organizational structure so that when we do get into the detailed work, we've got to up.
Hello, did we lose Chuck? Or did I get lost? Hello?
Yeah, we lost.
No, I think
we lost Chuck.
We lost
okay.
Chuck, yes.
I couldn't tell whether it was me that had lost the call or Chuck that had lost the call.
And he's been arrested for contempt.
Let's hope not. Okay, so, yeah, I may have spoken a bit strongly, and that's why I'm looking for diversity of views more than representation. But as I say, what does the council believe is, you know, the only constituency that hasn't put forward a name are the registrars, and there are two people that are non-com appointees, myself and Olga. And I'm functioning in it as chair of the GNSO and sort of taking that perspective. So, what do people think? Any other comments?
Audrey, this is Christina.
Yes, Christina.
I think that each constituency should be entitled to have one member, one representative on the planning committee. To the extent that there are concerns about size, I find it troubling that the concern would manifest itself and resolve itself by limiting the number of constituency representatives, where, as of right now, the majority of the participants are staff. I'm concerned that concerns about size seem to be misplaced here.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
This is Robin.
And this is, I'm sorry,
Robin.
Go ahead. I have a comment as well.
Who is that? Denise?
Yeah, this is Denise.
Okay, so Robin and then Denise.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we've got someone in our constituency that can by themselves commit to weekly calls, but what we can do is some kind of a tag team effort, so we can always have someone there, but it might not be the same person each time, so as long as that's not a problem.
I guess I would see that as somewhat problematic, but we'll need to talk about it.
Okay.
Because that means expanding the size of the team by the size of the tag team, and then we end up with several members from one constituency while it's only one member from many constituencies. And if we go with the one member per constituency model, it ends up problematic. So I guess I'd like to hear other people's opinions on that one. Denise?
Yeah, you know, we can certainly scale back the staff that's involved, that's on that committee. I think it's the staff referred to is simply as sort of a default capturing of the staff that has been involved in the startup discussions about GNSO improvement. But just to be clear on that, we will, of course, provide the level of staff support that's needed to move all this forward, but in terms of sort of official, if that's the right term, members of these committees, you know, we can certainly scale back to a much smaller number.
Okay, thanks.
If that's a concern, yeah.
Any other? No other comments at the moment.
I just have a follow-up question just about the concern that you raised in response to the point that Robin made. Mm-hmm. Would restricting participation on the call to one member of each constituency remedy that? And if not, why not?
I guess having a tag team, first of all, a lot of the work will be done on the list and hopefully in the wiki working environment. So having a tag team really does mean that the whole team is there. The other thing that I guess concerns me is the continuity of discussion as I think about it more, in terms of we're really trying to concentrate over the next 3-4 weeks to get these things out. A tag team necessarily is almost, it's 3 to 4 different people. They come in each with a fresh perspective each week, as opposed to being in the working together model and moving along kind of as a team. So I guess I would see adding a tag team as adding 3 more people.
Mm. This is Robin. Can I just clarify what I meant? I actually meant 2 people. That there would be 2 of us that could aid in the calls, but only one of them, one of us would be on each call.
I mean, my personal view is I find that makes more things more difficult because it really is two people in it. And but if the rest of the council is fine with NCUC having two people participate while there's, you know, and one from every other constituency, then, you know, I can live with it, certainly. But
Aubrey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what happened. I was hearing everybody else, but all of a sudden, apparently,
you were on mute. You said you put yourself on mute.
No, well, I took it off on mute, and I still wasn't being heard. So anyway, what I wanted to say was the more important thing in my mind than whether we have one per constituency or not is that we identify who those people are this week so that they can begin participating immediately so that within 3 weeks or so, we can have a plan to put in front of the whole council and the whole and all of the constituencies for further consideration.
Yeah, I think that's right. Do we have someone from the registrar committee constituency that wants to participate, or you just as soon leave it and deal with it at the council level? Since no one has put their name forward, I'm wondering whether I should ask that question. I guess I just did ask it.
Avery, it's Adrian.
Yes, Adrian.
I think we're not at a stage where we could suggest somebody just yet, but I'm sure that we could do that within 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, great. So, okay, I'm getting the impression that the council is really much more comfortable with each constituency being able to put forward one person for this group. Does anyone disagree with that statement? Okay, that was the impression I had. Are there any objections to extending that to two people from the NCUC take turns on the phone call? Does anyone object to doing that? Okay.
Avery, it's Adrian?
Yes.
I guess I've got her until such point in time that we've found somebody that I should put my hand up and say the registrars want to reserve that right as well.
Okay.
And Aubrey, go ahead, Adrian. Aubrey, one qualification on that I think is very important. If any constituency is using more than two people that are alternating or whatever, it should be their responsibility to get up to speed on what meetings they missed and what work was done so that we don't spend time rehashing things that have already been covered.
I completely agree, Chuck.
Okay, so I hear that if we allow it for one, of course we have to allow it for all, which makes a lot of sense. I guess I'm the only one that objects to it, so, and, you know, we can add all these people to the planning group, which at the moment, is Ken Stubbs still in the withdrew in favor, or now that we're adding one per constituency, Chuck?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll check with Ken on that.
Okay.
I will try and make him comfortable with just me doing it. So, but I'll get back to you.
Okay. And I'd like to ask, as almost a favor to the registrars and even to NCUC, if at all possible, please try to limit it to one person. And if you can't, you can't. NCC, do you have the names of the two people?
Yes, it would be me and Milton.
Okay.
Average, Adrian, if we do limit it, it will be only as a favor to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It means I owe you one, right? And it's in the transcript. Okay.
Yeah, I think
we're reading correctly between the lines. Thank you.
Aubrey, this is Tim.
Yes, Tim.
I got sidetracked on part of this discussion. I apologize. But
okay.
So on the standing committees, who is our council
expected to be participate in the standing committees. At the level of one per constituency.
We haven't gotten that far with the charter. I expect on the standing committees that makes a lot of sense, and I don't even know if it'll be limited. In fact, I don't think it'll be limited to council members. I would think that there would be one per constituency, and I think on some of them, you know, there may even be more. So we haven't gotten to that point, but I certainly would not see it as being less than that. And I'm hoping also that standing committees can sort of work on that, you know, dozen or baker's dozen is a reasonable number, but still that would allow for, you know, perhaps several people from several constituencies, et cetera. But we haven't gotten that far.
One of the things there, Aubrey, that an idea that you put forward on the partial planning group that's been meeting is that the standing committees could actually end up being a long-term standing committee that could do follow-up even after we implement some of the recommendations and so forth. So that's still an idea. That's an idea that's on the table that's maybe helpful for people to know that's one of the things being talked about.
Yeah, no, and let me just explain a little bit, and then we should move on agenda-wise, is because things like the working group and the PDP, we are going to come up, that group will come up with a first estimation of how we do working groups and how we do PDPs, but they would need to continue to evaluate what's working, what's not, recommend changes, not recommend, et cetera, and there may also be other process work that would need to be done down the line. So that's why these things were conceived of as standing committees. Likewise with operations, you know, we're going to have operational issues in the GNSO until the end of time. Those operational issues will change over time, but having a standing committee that can deal with those. So that's why I suggested that these may indeed evolve into standing committees that persist, have a rotation of members, or whoever knows how that works. But yes, they're really considered, you know, if you look at the board working group's recommendations for possible standing committees to do much of that process and operational type of work, they're sort of prototypes of what those things could turn out to be. At least that's the way I've been looking at them. Any other comments on this? So basically we've resolved that there'll be one per constituency and, if necessary, a tag team of two. I thank you. The next one was discuss the Who Is report. Basically, the Who Is study suggestions report went out on the end of last month, and we need to start discussions. Basically, we need to figure out how to proceed on it. Chuck did put forward a motion on how we could proceed. He made that motion. It has not been seconded yet. I could read that motion if that's a good idea, but everyone does have it in the council workspace. Should I read the motion, or is there any need to read it at this point? Certainly need to read it before we vote on it. But I'd like to open it up for discussion on how we proceed. And perhaps, Chuck, if you're online still, you could talk a little bit.
I am still online, if you can hear me.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that there's going to be need to be some you know, more detailed work in terms of coming up with some ideas for which studies we want to get cost estimates for and so forth. And if we try to do that as a council as a whole, I think it takes an awful lot of time. And the small group approach where they come up with some recommendations seems to have worked very well for us in quite a few cases. And the ultimate situation will be that it comes back to the full council for decisions anyway. So I think it's a smart way to go, and I already have two or three volunteers from the registries that would be willing to participate in that.
Fantastic. Any other discussion who would like to speak on the idea of how we proceed on this? Yes, sir.
Just a couple of comments. I think probably we indeed do need some sort of group to look at this further. I just have a suggestion, perhaps, for Denise and Liz, in terms of the way that the reference report on the public reference for further studies was done. Although it's comprehensive in terms of listing everything that was there, the information that I'm missing, which I think is quite important and interesting to know, is, you know, who suggested these studies and what support was there during that period and from whom it was made on this. And I noticed, even just looking at the short mailing list that was set up from that, when Kieran did a little summary of public comments, it was all terribly vague. It was like, you know, seven people said this, six people said that. But without the information as to who, I think we're missing rather important pieces of information here. So perhaps just going forward, we could...
This is Liz, if I can just jump in on that. Because it was a logistical... I think Philip has a good point. I wanted to actually produce just a list of the submissions, because there are not that many, and who actually submitted each one. It was a function of the way we did the online form that wasn't... that the name wasn't public as they normally are, because we were trying to make sure people gave contact information. Anyway, it was a logistical problem, and so I would be happy to just produce a list that correlates the submissions to the names of people that submitted them, and you know, I could do that right away. We don't have any indication, I'll tell you now, in the submissions about level of support for anyone and any particular, you know, other than those that are, you know, might have been offered by an organization where you could infer that the members of the organization support that notion. There wasn't really any kind of, like, statistical voting on anything in the course of that process. It was just a listing of different ideas. So the first part, I'm glad to produce the actual list of who submitted what, but I'll tell you now, there really isn't any kind of level of support metric that could be applied to it.
Okay, super. Very, very helpful. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks. One question I guess I'd like to ask Philip on that is, in some sense, I know it's interesting to know, but in another sense, does it really matter in terms of the council now looking at what's proposed and from a council perspective coming up with a sense of priority in terms of what we think is reasonable to do, et cetera? Sort of like maybe it's because I live in an academic world, that sometimes it's good to review ideas without actually knowing who proposed the idea and to do the sort of black box review.
Sure.
I was just saying, this is Tim, I'd like to get on the queue.
Okay, great,
sure.
I think my instant response is that I live in a political world, and that's not the way we do things. So I like to know level of support behind ideas and who is proposing that in order to help decisions in terms of prioritization.
Okay, thank you. Tim?
Yeah, I guess I agree with Philip on that, that the level of support seems to be kind of a key issue, because we're talking, can't really, and obviously with all the work we've done on who is in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, getting consensus on anything is obviously extremely difficult, and so understanding what level of support there is going into these studies, I think, is kind of important. And if we don't have that up front, then maybe that's something we need to consider before we would pursue any of these studies and spend, you know, the kind of money that some of them might take in order to come up with that information. So that we don't go down the road again and later, you know, spend a lot of time on something that we just cannot really resolve.
Okay. So in other words, an idea of what could possibly come out of this committee is a recommendation to post the studies and actually do a poll to collect some sort of notion of level of support. That's something that they could talk about, perhaps.
I was going to say that not what I was suggesting. I was saying it would be helpful information to know, but it would not be the only criteria in which one should assess a study. Huh?
Yeah, no, I understand that, but Liz had said that there was no real levels of support in what they had collected. It was just the name of the proposer.
That's fine. I mean, if that information is missing, let's have that and get on with the job.
Okay, great, thanks. Would anyone else like to speak to this? In which case, let me read the motion that has been made by Chuck, and perhaps there'll be a seconder. Whereas on 31 October 2007, the Council passed a motion to initiate the following sequential actions. One, Council shall provide additional definition regarding the potential data gathering and study requirements. Two, staff shall provide the Council with rough cost estimates for various components of data gathering and studies no later than February 15, 2008. Council shall decide what data gathering and studies would be pursued, and staff will perform the resulting data gathering and studies and report the results back to the Council. And we have updated the dates. On 6 December, the Council initiated formation of a group of volunteers to develop a proposed format to solicit what studies would be undertaken. On 20 December 2007, the Council reviewed and discussed the WHOIS template developed by the group and approved it with one additional column under potential sources of data, asking proposers to comment on the challenges of sourcing that data. From 8-15 February 2008, a public comment period was held soliciting suggestions from the community for specific topics of study on WHOIS that community stakeholders recommend be conducted. A report titled Report on Public Suggestions on Further Studies of WHOIS and dated 25 February 2008 summarize the study suggestions and comments received during the public comment period. Resolved to form a group of volunteers to review and discuss the report on public suggestions on further studies on WHOIS. Two, develop a proposed list of recommended studies for which ICANN staff will be asked to provide cost estimates to the Council. Three, deliver the list of recommendations with supporting rationale no later than 24 April 2008. So that's the motion on the table, motion made by Chuck, as I say, has not been seconded yet. Do I have a seconder?
This is Christina, I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Christina. Is there any discussion on the motion itself before I ask for a vote?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Okay.
The one issue I have with the motion, and maybe I should have brought it up earlier when we were talking about it, but it's that it seems to imply to me that there must be a recommendation for studies. And I would feel more comfortable with it if it somehow was clear that that may not be the ultimate result, or that one result could be there is no recommendation for further studies.
So you're saying a proposed list could be a null list.
Exactly.
Does the motion need to be changed to, in other words, you're actually saying the two should read, you know, develop a proposed list, if any, of recommended studies?
Right.
Chuck, since we do friendly amendments, do you accept that as a friendly amendment? Chuck and Christina, since you seconded it.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Okay, Chuck, can you hear me? Chuck may not have been available. Since you accepted Christina.
Just a comment.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I do take that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Yes, sure.
And perhaps Liz may have better recall than me, but is it not already a Council recommendation that came out of the last WHOIS working group that we went forward with studies?
Well, we went forward with studying the notion of doing studies and determining which of any studies, but, you know.
Well, because there were several gates. There was the public comment period. There was the process of determining costs. So, that, you know, this stage would just be
find out which ones you're even interested in getting costs on, and projected time frames on, and any other considerations.
Okay, well, I'm going to press the point. I think some of the suggestions are very sensible.
So, it's quite possible. Okay, any other discussion on this? Is there any objection to doing a voice vote on this and ayes and nays, or should we do a poll vote? Is anyone object to doing an aye and nay vote? Okay, hearing no objection to doing an ayes and nay vote, and hearing no more comments, all those in favor of the motion as made by Chuck and seconded by Christina and as amended, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, abstentions. Okay, passes unanimously. So I guess first question is, Liz, is it correct to assume that you'll be the staff person working with this little group?
Yeah, I think so. Happy to do it.
Okay, and I guess the group is open for volunteering, which I guess means contacting Glenn. And Glenn, can you construct a list so that this group can start the normal mechanism of working as a little group?
Yes, I would, Avery.
Okay, thank you. So, and Liz will be working to help coordinate that. And the way we've been doing these things lately is the group seem to be working fairly well and can pick their own, you know, coordinator or chair as necessary, unless the council believes that it should pick a chair for this. Does the council believe that we need to, anyone on council believe that we should pick a chair? Okay, we'll leave it up to the group then to figure out its own structure for how to move forward. Okay, any more comments on that one before I move on? Okay.
This is Uta, just to say that I'm leaving the call now.
Okay, thank you, Uta. Thanks for being here. Okay, the next thing is report on single character domain names at the second level, and the first thing was to get a quick overview from Patrick on this.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. So on February 27th, I sent to the council list a synthesis document on single character domain names at the second level. This was prepared at the direction of the council, also the GNSO reserve names working group, following the public comment period that ran from 16 October to 15 December 2007. 36 comments were received during the comment period from a wide range of members of the community. From nine different countries, and a number of suggestions came in on possible allocation methods for single character domain names. At this stage, we are, staff is looking for input from the council on the document, and then we're also identifying an expert or experts that can help with the creation of a model that could be discussed by the community.
Okay, thank you. So I guess I'd like to open the queue both for people who want to ask clarifying questions or those who want to comment either on the report or on what they think our next steps should be in this process. And so the queue is open. Who would like to be in this queue? No one with questions? No one with comments?
Avery, it's Mike Roden. I have a question, please.
Okay, Mike. And I heard another voice also?
It was Tim.
Tim, okay. So I've got Mike and Tim. Go ahead, Mike.
I know that Jeff Newman had raised an issue about contractual interpretation, and I think that Dan, and I don't know if Dan's on the call, but if he could, he could just kind of summarize where he came out on that, because I think I had also sent a reply along that I don't feel was considered. In other words, I think Jeff had cited one provision of the registry agreement that he thought made it essentially impossible for ICANN to allocate these names without registry approval. And I found that there was another section that sort of said that they could. I'm not sure where exactly we ended up on that and whether that is some sort of a gating issue.
Okay, thank you. Dan, are you on the call? I thought he was going to be on the call. Is he not here at this point?
I think he's on mute, Avery.
Oh, Dan, are you on mute? Have you walked out of the office?
I'm here, Avery.
Oh, okay. So, did you hear the question?
I heard the very end of it.
Okay, basically this relates to the question that had been asked and which you responded in an email, and basically whether there's a gating issue in all of this.
I'm sorry, Avery. I came in at the very end. Could you please restate the question?
Okay, Mike, please restate.
Sure. Dan, so there was an issue raised by Jeff Newman, which you'd responded to, and I wasn't sure whether, frankly, from your response, whether that was a Doug issue, whether I wasn't actually, it seemed to me that you were agreeing with Jeff Newman's position, essentially, that ICANN can't allocate these names without specific registry approval. Is that correct?
Dan?
Yeah, Mike, let me follow up on email. I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of the conversation, and I'm not following the question. I don't have the response.
Well, the question relates to your email and the email that was sent.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to figure out whether this is a gating issue that we need to resolve before we waste a bunch of council time deciding what we should do next, or not.
Single character names, Dan.
Yeah, I remember the issue. I'm at the other end of the office trying to chase down another issue, and I'm not prepared to say, yes, I agree
okay.
with Jeff. I don't remember what I said or what he said off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So what my email stands, and I can follow up by email if there are more questions about what I said. Just sorry, I'm not prepared right now to...
Let's for the clarifying question, then.
Okay, well, I had Tim, and then I have Phil. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
I was just going to raise the issue Mike did, because I think it's kind of a crucial
okay, thank you.
Question, and we don't have an answer to it. So.
Right. Okay, so.
Dan, I think to my mind, the question is in two parts. So, I mean, one, do we need registry agreement in order to allocate these names, yes or no? And that's fine. Some registries may say yes, some may say no. And if that's the case, then the ones that say yes, then we go ahead and can allocate. And the second question, though, is then, does the registry determine the means of allocation, or can we do that more centrally?
Dan,
we're not. So this is Kurt. I think our feedback was that we conducted that public comment session at the direction of the council, and then came back to the council with a synthesis of that comment, and that much of that comment went to, efficient means of allocation, so that one means of allocation could be developed for all. So that was the intent of the document staff did, and the staff position is that the council could develop, make a recommendation to staff to develop one allocation method.
Okay. I appreciate that, Kurt. It's Mike Rodenbaugh. I just feel that I think, and I honestly haven't spent a whole lot of time on this, but when I read Dan's response to Jeff Newman, it seemed like ICANN staff was coming across with a different position than what you just stated. So I'd like to get that resolved.
Yeah, so I think there can be one allocation method, but as Philip said, I think that whether the registries release the names or not, is might not be forced. So I think that's still not decided yet. But there can be one single allocation method if a registry were to decide to release single letter names.
Okay. What I'd like to suggest at this point, since Dan is obviously caught in another fire at the moment, that we table this discussion until the next meeting, but that we try to resolve it in terms of what the actual question is over email in the next week or two, and then perhaps even on email we can figure out what our next step is. And if, is this something that we then need to create a PDP for, or is there some other process that we need or want to follow in terms of bringing this to a conclusion? Does that make sense to people as a way to go? Because at the moment it just seems like we're not really able to have a coherent conversation on it without Dan, and Dan can't do it now. Okay. In which case, I'll move on to the vote on electronic voting. Basically, we've talked about this several times. We've had several motions. We've had several work projects. We've had a working group that came up. And now we have a motion by Philip that's been seconded by both Cyril and Bilal. And Philip, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, happily. And the motion is very simple. It's just pointing out that members are from time to time disenfranchised, and we're asking the board to adopt a change to the bylaws to enable electronic voting in certain circumstances. And I'm delighted to say that having done lots of work on this and produced a two-page document of what those rules could look like, Dan and his friends went away and crunched that down to about six lines that basically said the same thing. And I think says it very succinctly in terms of what those rules would be, just picking up our principle of where these votes are important. I think we have the comfort that the wording is already legally robust, so the request we're making of the board is a reasonable one. And I hope that this style of council work being reduced to a succinct few lines and subsequent action can be a great model for the future.
Yeah, I think that the work that was done is really quite impressive, and the output of the committee was quite good, too. Would anyone else like to speak on this topic before? Any other discussion? Okay, let me read through the motion, then. Whereas council members are from time to time disenfranchised from voting by the current ICANN bylaw, council requests the board to adopt the following change to the bylaws drafted by the ICANN General Counsel's Office to permit absentee voting in certain circumstances. At ICANN bylaws, Article 10, Section 3.8c, absentee voting. Members that are absent from a meeting at the time of the vote on whether to initiate a PDP, forward a policy recommendation to the board, or fill a position open for election may vote by absentee ballot. The GNSO Secretariat will provide reasonable means for transmitting and authenticating absentee ballots, which would include voting by telephone, email, or web-based interface. Absentee ballots must be submitted within 72 hours after the start of the meeting in which a vote is initiated, except that in exceptional circumstances announced at the time of the vote, the chair may reduce this time to 24 hours or extend the time to 7 days. Are there any questions or other comments?
I have one question. It's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Yes, Mike.
Exceptional circumstances. Philip or anybody, what is envisioned with that carve-out?
I'll go. It's, 72 hours seem to be a reasonable turnaround time expected. We just recognize that there would be occasions where a shorter turnaround time was necessary because of the nature of the vote. And we also recognize that particularly with things like public holidays, Easter, Christmas, etc., maybe an extension of time could be necessary. So it was deemed what our interpretation of exceptional was.
That's certainly the way I read it, that if, for example, this was something that had to be in front of the board within 48 hours, then that might constitute an exceptional circumstance. And as Philip said, you know, if everybody was about to get on a plane and travel, you know, to go to a meeting, then 72 hours might not be reasonable.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Since this is I was thinking that we should actually do a roll call vote on this, since this is a request for a change to the bylaws. Does anyone object to that? Okay, in which case, if there's no more suggestion, could I ask Glenn for you to call the roll on this?
Certainly, Abby. Philip Shippert?
Yes.
Mark Rodenbach?
In favor.
Bilal?
Of course.
Richard Decker has left the call. Christina?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
John Hall? Greg Roof?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
In favor.
Norbert Klein?
Also in favor.
Carlos Souza?
He had to leave the call. He had to leave the call.
Thank you. Adrian Kinderis? Adrian Kinderis?
Both of us say yes. Both of us say yes.
Tim Ruth?
Yes.
Tom Keller?
Yes.
Jordy?
Yes.
Jordy?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Yon Bing?
Yes.
Yon Bing? Avery Doria?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
That is unanimously yes, Avery.
Okay, thank you. So I'll record that and then can send it on to the board.
21 votes in favor.
Fantastic, thank you. Okay, we already covered item 12. Before moving on to going through the action item review list, which we haven't done in a while, is there any other business that anyone wanted to bring up?
Aubrey, this is Christina. I had put something on the list and just wanted to repeat the request during the meeting itself. There have been several postings over the past 2 days, primarily on, I believe it's on the AWAC list, regarding reports of problems with the WHOIS data problem reporting system. And frankly, it's not at all clear to me exactly what the problems are or were or how long they've been going on or what the implications are, et cetera. And I think it would be, given how important the use of that system is to Internet users who rely on it for letting someone know somewhere about problems with WHOIS data, I think it would be very helpful to the council if we could get just a brief report from staff as to kind of the who, what, where, why, as well as whatever resolution ends up being implemented. I realize that this is very short notice. I don't expect anybody from staff to be on the phone at this minute who can do that, but I do think that it would be extraordinarily helpful to get that as soon as possible.
Okay, thanks. Is there anyone from staff who can give an initial comment at this point?
Yeah, this is Kurt.
Okay, Kurt, please.
If somebody else is going to talk instead of me, I'll welcome it. Was there somebody else?
Yeah, Kurt, this is Patrick.
Oh, hi. Let's see. So to back up about a month, there was an issue with the WHOIS data problem reports where one reporter was furnishing about 5,000 or so reports per day, had written a script to do that. And so the system at 500,000 reports fills up. So as soon as we recognized that a couple weeks ago, I think, we emptied that issue, and now we're monitoring the activity in the WHOIS data reports daily. So we're monitoring that, and then we learned with everybody else that some of the follow-up reports to reporters weren't going out. So our technical staff is working on that. That'll probably take a day to fix, and we've been aware of it for a day.
Okay.
At the end, all the reports will go to the reporters, so nothing will be lost, but some things are being delayed by a couple days. I've also had, if you've been following the emails, Danny Younger and I had an extensive conversation around the time this whole thing happened, about a week ago, and he's offered to put me in touch with this reporter who's written a script that Danny thinks is valuable because, you know, actually the reporters and the staff are on the same side of this issue, right? So Danny offered to put me in touch with this this gentleman so we can learn from how he's been studying who his accuracy and perhaps improve the system based on his work.
Okay.
Patrick, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I just wanted to add that I forwarded a note to the council list from Kieran McCarthy that Stacy had responded to the individual who had complained about the system not working. So that's on the council list now.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions from anyone on this at this point?
I just have a clarifying. I want to make sure that, I'm clear on that. And Kurt and Patrick, thank you very much for being able to pull together some information so quickly. I really appreciate it. Just so that I'm clear as to what the nature of the problem was, that the reported problem was that the email confirmation.
Christina, could I interrupt you a second?
Sure.
Aubrey, I have to drop off the call and go in the courtroom now.
Okay. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
We hope you're not infected.
Right. Be a badge. Okay.
I just want to clarify that I understand that the reported problem had to do with the subsequent follow-ups that go back to the person who submitted the report in the first instance saying, we've consulted with the registrar, this is what you reported, we've consulted with the registrar, this is what they've said, you know, can you confirm or deny or, you know, add additional comments. That is kind of the within the chain where the problems were occurring. Is that right?
That's the present issue.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, any other questions or comments on that? Okay, any other business? Okay, in which case, just then, before closing, quickly go through the pending actions list. Constantly updated, certainly before every meeting. So we had the recommendations for reserve names, and we've gotten that, and we've started talking about that.
It's Mike Rodenwell. If we have a question, please.
Sure.
That issue seems to have changed, and I admittedly haven't looked at this in a couple of months now, but there was a specific item on the IANA-ICANN reserve names that I know Patrick Jones was
wasn't that,
before.
Yeah, that was that part of that report that we were talking about. Also.
No, I don't think that is.
Oh, it actually wasn't included in that report.
It's not included.
You're right.
But that report's only on single letters.
You're right.
So I'm afraid that the ICANN issue has just disappeared suddenly, and I don't want to see that happen.
Mike, I can talk to that.
Patrick?
Yes. So the ICANN-IANA names are being looked at again while the work is going on to develop the schedule of reserve names for the new base agreement for new GTLDs, and so that work is being picked up again.
Okay, so is it following the earlier recommendation of the working group and the council that we ask ICANN and IANA, the groups that have these names, to justify their reservation or else come back to us with reasons why they essentially to justify their reservations?
At this stage, all I can tell you is that work is being picked up as part of the development of that schedule for the base agreement.
Okay.
Can we get...
I would just ask that it just get put back on our list so that it doesn't disappear.
Certainly. I just put it back on. Thank you very much. And I'll follow up to see whether we can, when we can get some update on the status of that. Okay. Next one is the Register Transfer Policy Review. And the proposal was sent to council, and we started an initial discussion about the steps. Motion on absentee voting just got taken care of today. The PDP denial definitions, the comment period ends on the 7th of April, and then we have the final report, and we have to figure out how we're going to do our deliberation. Domain tasting PDP we talked about, and we're still waiting we're looking for a lost constituency statement.
No, that's the...
you're right. I confused it again. So we're still waiting for updated constituency statements. That's right. Did you want to comment on what you need there?
We have not received any... public comment and constituency statement due date is Friday, tomorrow. And to date, we have not received any constituency statements. There are some public comments on the website.
Okay.
So it would be very important to have those tomorrow in order to meet the date that was requested for the updated final report.
Liz, can we send those to your attention?
Yes, I believe sending them to Liz would be...
Please. Please, me and Glenn.
Just a process issue. It's clearly not required that any constituencies submit updated statements. It was just at their option to do it by tomorrow. Okay, thanks.
Right. There had been issues that because of the motion, some people felt that they wanted to be able to update constituency statements based on the specific motion. So the WHOIS studies we talked about, selection is
Ivory, can we go back to tasting for a second? You and I had exchanged email off list as to the estimated arrival date of the answers to the General Counsel's office and the questions that Adrian and I posed. Are those still expected to come in the next couple of days?
I'm hoping. I will ping them again and check. And I guess, Dan, if you're still on the line and still here, you can answer. Otherwise, I'll follow up in email.
All right. Thank you.
Aubrey, this is Liz. Could I just add one comment on the domain tasting constituency statements, which is that, as you recall, the discussion was focused on how important it was to understand the impact that this particular proposal in the resolution had on constituencies, and that was what was lacking in the previous discussion and documentation of the issue. So while it may be optional, and I understand that, in terms of being able to address the impact of the particular proposal on each constituency, it will be very difficult to do that in a final report if I don't actually have those impact statements.
Okay, thank you. So I guess also if there's anyone that is planning to do an impact statement or an update on the impact, they should also let Liz know. And if they're going to come in late, then we may have to look at our date, obviously.
Well,
is anyone planning on one that isn't going to be ready by tomorrow?
ITC will have one, and Liz, you'll have it by close of business Eastern time.
Thank you.
Anyone? You'll have a brief updated statement as well, though we had considered this proposal in our original statement.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone else considering one? Registrars, registries? Nope. Okay. Okay, so the WHOIS we talked about. The election for board seat 14 is complete. Again, congratulations, Harita. GSO improvement activities, we've talked about some. We've made the first report. We had some discussions on process. The comment period is still open. I need to update that with the 24th of April. Extension that's been received, which is very good, and I thank the board for that. New GTLD policy, we never did get, I don't believe, the redacted implementation notes. Perhaps that'll be covered as part of the materials that we're going to receive for the discussion. Is there any update on that?
I'm sorry. What are you referring to?
Well, basically, we had had a discussion, I think this was back in New Delhi, that there were the implementation reports were going to the board, and there had been a request from council that we receive copies of those, and the response from staff at the time had been, well, certainly, but we have to go through and clean them up some and, take out some information, like who's doing what to whom, that... doesn't belong being public at this point. So we will give you basically a version of them, and the date posted had been 13 March. And so I was wondering.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of this thread. Were you referring to the new GTLD report implementation issues? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
the first question is that part of what we'll get
in advance. In advance of the face-to-face on the 10th, yes, you'll be getting additional information on that.
Okay, thank you.
So we were going to start discussing the issues today, but really we've discussed the process for the face-to-face meeting. I'll fill in the date for the face-to-face meeting now that we have it. This last Lux Issues report actually came in early, and I've got it on a first discussion of it on the schedule for the next meeting. The next meeting is already getting crowded. We've got many bulleted items, GNSO improvements, you know, begin discussion of how to complete the deliberations on the IR transfer policy, PDP, the denial definitions, you know, the proposed IRTP PDP recommendations, domain tasting report will be in by then. We have to start discussing, we'll continue discussing and perhaps have the vote as scheduled then. The FAS Plus Issues report is in, so we'll have to start discussing. There's a new GTLD process if there's any follow-up that comes out of our face-to-face meeting. And then there's, we put on the schedule the single character, two-letter domain names. Not sure what else will come up between now and then, but it's already looking like a full schedule.
So, Aubrey, it's Mike again. On the Fast Flux issue, just trying to get a little better sense of where you think we're at with the next meeting.
We have an issues report, and we're now at the point of deciding whether we need a PDP.
Good. Okay, that's what I thought as well. So, okay. I mean, I just don't see any reason why we couldn't discuss that and vote on that specific question in our next meeting.
If everyone is ready to take a vote on it in our next meeting, I don't see a reason either. And if we especially have an emotion on the table. That's why I'm sort of announcing earlier that it is on the table for the next meeting, and hopefully people will have discussion between now and then, and we'll be ready to take a vote.
I appreciate that. I will certainly welcome any discussions on that as well, and I expect that I will make a motion to have the vote on the PDP in the next meeting.
Okay, thanks. But one of the things I do want people to notice, and we're just about out of time, is that we have a very full agenda. So the more things that we can resolve or at least discuss and come close to resolution using the mailing list, obviously the better. Anyone have anything to add at this point or any other questions? Nope. In which case, I thank you all for participating and look forward to talking to you on the list, in the wikis, and at our next meeting.
Just one last thing. When do we expect to know definitively what the timing is going to be for the face-to-face?
I guess we were asked to definitively let Glenn know by the end of business today.
Okay.
Or I guess at the end of today, whether
it really needs to. I'm sorry, this is Denise. It really needs to be done sooner than that. If we've got a critical mass on this call, let me tell all of you, send an email right now. We basically need to decide within the next 2 hours. So currently we've got four people saying start with cocktails and one person saying midday. So if that doesn't change within, say, the next 2 hours, we'll be making reservations based on the outcome that Glenn gets. So please do contact me right now.
Let me just take a minute now. Is there any comment on it from anyone here? Is there a preference among this group here? Do we start midday, 2 o'clock?
I would prefer midday only because it means that I'm going to be taking the red eye back on Friday night, but that's just me.
My opinion is that, you know, this is very late to be scheduling a full-day face-to-face meeting, you know, in 2 weeks, basically. So one day is enough, personally, and trying to get there for a day and a half is just a much more burden, at least for me.
Adrian?
I hear what Mike's saying. I'm actually open to both. It doesn't bother me too much because I'm traveling all that way, but if we do go for one day, I certainly want to follow up on Kurt's point to make sure that we at least utilize that night before to squeeze in some work and even if stand up or chatting or whatever.
I'm sorry, Aubrey. The point was to really just shift the meeting to the left a little bit in order to allow people to get flights home on Friday afternoon.
Same amount of time. We're suggesting the same amount of time. different.
And so basically what we're trying to decide is do we start at 2 o'clock on Thursday or do we start at 6 o'clock on Thursday? Is really what we're differentiating. It's not really cocktails. It's basically do we start at 2 o'clock and have a full afternoon or do we start at 6 o'clock with a 1 or 2 hour drinks plus getting us started, and et cetera. So I've kind of heard it's still very split. Anyone else want to speak to it?
This is Tim. I've already replied back to Dan. So.
Okay. So everyone else, get your emails into Glenn, and I think plurality wins. Basically, you know, Glenn has within 2 hours, let's say, you know, however many responses she has, whichever one has a bigger count is the way we go. Does anyone object to following that process? Nope? Okay. So, Glenn, it's your call.
Thank you, Avery.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you all, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.